When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento, Sacramento, Sacramento,
Sacramento. Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
Welcome to Lost in America, episode 183. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I'm Michael Kaplan.
You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find Kaplan at K-A-P Kaplan America on Instagram. Also, this show is on Instagram at Lost in America Pod. And find us, listen to our show live from the bunker, blah, blah, blah. We are everything you need to find out about us, lostinamericapod.com. You can watch our YouTube page now. You can watch it all. Kaplan, how are you doing? What is going on? Oh, first of all, on the podcast today, we should say who we have. We have the great Jorge Castellanos calling us in from Shanghai. He is a stand-up comedian based in Shanghai. I knew him when I was living out there. He's a good dude. He's from the great state of Virginia originally, and he has been. He might be from Texas now that I think about it. I'm not 100% sure where he's from.
We'll find out. We'll ask him.
Well, he's from America. We know that.
He's from America.
And he's been living in Shanghai for a while. He's a small business owner out there. He's going to tell us how they're doing with the pandemic, with the virus. I want to know what the real numbers are like, you know? Because, like, you hear the numbers. They seem unbelievable. But if you talk to somebody on the ground and they go, no, I don't know anybody dying. I don't know anybody who has it. Then maybe they're real.
Maybe they are. Maybe they solved it over there.
So we'll find out that in a minute. Before we get to him, Cap, let's get to you. What's going on? I'm out here in Virginia. You're in New York City, the center of riots everywhere. But they of course have New York City ones. How's the Latin Ozarks? How's the Long Island City doing?
Everyone's worried about me. I'm fine. You wouldn't even know there were riots in New York City. It's
neighborhood. You're saying
in my neighborhood, you wouldn't know. It's totally normal. Sunday was like the big day of the riots, and this place was packed. The parks was packed. People outside drinking. People outside hanging out. People playing soccer.
No difference.
A carefree, apathetic world we live in. There was like I saw on Facebook someone was like, "What's going on down by the pier? There seems to be protesters."
No,
and I saw a picture. There was like five people stepped up. Like they looked like when there's like some weird cause going on, you're like, what are these people protesting? And like, you actually see them in New York in like the city or somewhere where you see like just some weird, like really shitty, like 10 people protesting something. That's what it looked like. But they were just the Long Island City version.
Like when there's like seven people outside the White House on like a random Tuesday morning and their cause is like, whatever, the tsetse, endangered tsetse flies in Utah or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Kaplan, this is fascinating to me because you live one stop from Manhattan. You live, our neighborhood.
I don't speak that way anymore because I don't ride the subway anymore. But yes, if the subway still existed in my mind.
I mean, you're not out in the boondocks.
I look at Manhattan.
You're in New York City. You're across the river from Manhattan. You are in you're in Queens, New York. All these protests happening in Brooklyn were really close to our neighborhood, but that's not far from you. It's a 15-minute drive with no traffic.
And that's the thing. Like, it was a little bit reminiscent of the early days, the real peak sad days of the pandemic when I would sit at the, I look out on the city and the FDR would just be ambulances just flying up the thing all day. Last night, it's just cop cars flying up and down. It's just like crazy to watch. That's the only way you would know what's going on. Just a zillion cop cars going at all hours. People here are like every single day for the past several weeks, these cops have been out handing out masks, Yesterday or 2 days ago, they didn't show up. They had things to do. So there was no one handing out masks. There's no cops in the neighborhood. Some kids took advantage of it and jumped the fence and were playing in the playground that's been closed. Nobody there to bust them. There's anarchy. But then yesterday, so Saturday was a mess. Yesterday, the cops were back as if like they're like tiptoeing around like nothing happened. Like
Sunday.
It's kind of awkward. Yeah, Sunday. It's kind of awkward to be like, what do you guys, am I supposed to be scared of the cops now? But it's just the whole thing is strange. It's a little awkward. You're like, But
what about, because you call it the Latin Ozarks, because a lot of Latin America hangs out in your at the park, and they don't socially distance so much. How did they were the Colombians were they around, or was this all like
it was all, I mean, it weren't the exact same people. No, it's not a lot of white people. It's a very
multicultural.
It's a very multicultural. Actually, it was funny you bring it up, because I found an area of the park that, like, a second park that's not quite as crowded. And I was eavesdropping on this conversation. It was quiet enough where I could hear conversations. And it was everybody was, I don't know where they were from, but it definitely Spanish speaking. But then they flipped to English because the one girl spoke English. And she's like, yeah, she's like, oh, my friend who's meeting us here, he's a real, she's like, you won't like him. He's a real white liberal. So she's like, you know, like, I'm just giving you a heads up, because like, you might make some joke about what's going on and it might rub him the wrong way. So
oh,
just
no.
Don't talk about it. So I was like,
so
it was
they're joking about it, Kaplan.
They're joking about the pro, like, in a weird
Yikes.
Way of like,
it's yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, so
out
that
of
was
touch, huh?
Out of, yeah, well, no, I don't know. They're warning the guy not to joke about it. So that was that. You know, Randy was in New York today in Manhattan for work, and she was sending me pictures of all Bloomingdale's, all the favorite stores, Cartier, all boarded up. It's very sad. It's like the whole city that's already been shut down has now found a new level of shutdown, where like now there's boards up on everything.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, listen, I support the protesters. I do what you got to do.
But is this mean it's just going to extend you not coming back? Is the big question, because this is gonna whether you support or not, this is gonna lead to the spread popping up a little bit. I mean, it has to. And
yeah, the virus for sure.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, they're, you know, obviously social distancing was kind of off this past weekend, and so I would say it definitely extends our trip to Virginia. It's what we're gonna do now is
two weeks.
Yeah, you have to wait 2 weeks and see what becomes of everyone grouping together, which in one hand, it's kind of what you have to do if you want to make a difference in today's culture with police shootings and all that stuff. On the other hand, it's not, it's the exact opposite of what you want to do if you want to kill this virus.
Yeah,
so we're going to hang back for a couple weeks and see what happens. You know,
I mean, maybe my neighborhood being so apathetic will actually, the numbers will be low here. Who knows?
Maybe we'll move to your neighborhood, just where cares about anything.
I think the people here would have, there was one girl that I saw in the looting that was like, I don't know if you saw this. There was a video clip. I think it was in Seattle where she just walked into a cheesecake factory and just took a whole cheesecake. And
yes.
Walked up with the whole thing. And I want to declare a hero, because no one's going to eat a whole cheesecake, I don't think. But you don't take a piece of it, because a piece, you're getting your hands in there, you spread. That's how you spread COVID.
She took the whole cake.
You take the whole cake, it's safer. So I appreciate her. She's my hero.
Well, this is, Kaplan, we haven't talked about this yet. This is what happens with gentrification, you know, is that you get white people rioting. And and you get, you know, when the Karens, for example, start rioting, what do they want? They want cheesecake.
They do. I mean, I think that was the first time in Randy Kaplan's life where she was like contemplating rioting between that and the some of the jewelry.
I saw another one in Chicago, and she's this one white lady. Her form of rioting was, you know, everyone's throwing bricks through windows and Molotov cocktails at cops. She stole a police horse. And you could tell she was a trained equestrian, like she'd been in competitions, because she hopped on top of it, gave it a little giddy up or two, and then did a foxtrot through the city. Almost not like a race, not, you know, not a race, but one of those, like she's a show, like a show horse, like she's going to get it to do a jump and a that kind of deal.
That really gives yourself away as a rich white girl when you're trying to blend in, you know.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you know how to not only jump a horse, you know how to, you're trained in it.
You know the foxtrot. Yeah.
You know the foxtrot. You know. Don't even so, take lessons.
That's one of the That's what happens when you blend neighborhoods like we've done for the last years. Everyone likes to say this is a bad thing, but then the good thing is you get, I don't know if this is good, but you get white fat white chicks stealing cheesecake.
And that also reminds me, that's an activity. I'm sure you could ride horses this summer, right? That's social distancing. That can't be canceled. So maybe I can.
Maybe, Cap. Anyway, we should get to Jorge. He's in Shanghai. It is early morning for him. It's evening for us. So he's got to go to work soon. He's waiting for us. What should we do? Should we patch him in?
Let's patch him in.
Patch him in.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, we're back with Jorge Castellanos in Shanghai. Yeah. What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy. How you doing? Nice to see you, Cap.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Yeah, I've heard so much about you through your podcast.
We've been wanting to get you on. First of all, congratulations. You have a great puppy picture. Are you in your apartment right now in Shanghai? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm in my apartment. I'm in one of those apartments where people think they're making everything fancy and rich and instead looks incredibly tacky. So.
Is that your dog?
Yeah, it's our dog that died.
Oh, no, it's not. Is it really?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Oh, really? It looks like a dog that you're... All right, well, let's stop talking about the dog.
When my dog passes away, we're going to have to do the same thing for her now. She's listening to this, so we'll...
So what's going on in Shanghai? What's going on with the virus? Is it over? Are you guys done? Is
you
there
won,
a
right?
military parade happening? Is there a victory parade? What's the status? Did you win? China won.
It's one of those things where I don't know if you heard, but like they just started chartering flights back to China. Germany's been working really hard to like charter flights back for business owners or whatever. And the very first flight back, a COVID case. So,
oh, no way. From where?
From Germany. So I imagine we're going to be locked in here for a while.
Off.
Wait, where did they get the case? They got it when the person...
I don't know. It's you would think that they would have checked everyone beforehand.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, when they landed, they retested everyone on the plane. And someone had it, so I imagine
like taking people's temperature is such a charade because we all know
absolutely
it can go back a week, which this is like information that everyone knows, but we all pretend like the temperature check thing is helpful in some
way. Like psychological to get people to be like scared of getting caught and shamed, I guess. So you're like, oh, they're checking temperatures.
Because they literally spent the whole time saying that you could be asymptomatic and it's just as harmful. And then we've set it all up for checking symptoms. So,
yeah, which we all know. I think it just makes companies feel good, like businesses being like, all right, well, we're going to reopen because we need to make money. And so why don't we check people's temperatures? It makes them feel better about doing, and airlines included, it's like it's something to be like, well, we're doing all we can. It's like, well, not really. All you could do would be just to close your business.
Right. Well, they're not going to do that. Yeah. But was the flight, though, like a socially distanced plane? Or they're like, because I know some business proposals where you can put one person in the middle, then you skip a row, or they're just
that's
flying
a good
people
question.
Back. Yeah.
I bet it wasn't that many.
No.
Well, I want to ask about your flight because let's go with your backstory. You have actually flown around the world twice during this whole pandemic. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to spread my wings. You know?
Yeah. You spread something. some say you're one of the main causes for all this. But
I'm patient zero.
You're patient zero.
Yeah, you were in China in January, right? And then what happened?
Yeah. So I was actually at a Will Savince show in Beijing.
Oh.
And then I got insanely sick. The sickest I've ever been in my life. Spent 8 days not moving. I went and got tested, but it was right before like testing was really a thing. Like no one was even really worried about it in Shanghai.
And what part of January was this? This would have been
like late January. Okay. So like January 18th was the Will Savince show.
Okay.
And then I was sick that entire next week. And then I was knocked out, went to the hospital like every day just to like check. And then once I got better and the fever went down and all that, I saw everything was shutting down and I was like, I was just in that it was that weird state where you're like, I haven't moved in 10 days. I'm freaking out. And I was symptomatic or symptom free. And then I booked a plane back home and sat on my mom's couch for 2 months, which was horrific.
But you didn't know that at the time. I mean, so it sounds like what you're telling us. I don't mean to do math here, but you possibly had the virus in January. No, you had different symptoms.
Yeah, the test was negative or positive?
Well, I don't even think they gave me a test because it was before they really were doing. I mean, it was the middle of January before it really spread anywhere. Like nothing had been shut down yet. So I don't think they fully tested me. I'm going to do that antibodies test later when everything calms down and see if I had it.
I mean, thinking about it, Ben Frank fled Shanghai's because of COVID-19. He's a comedian in Shanghai. And he was sitting on my couch watching the Super Bowl about five days later. Looking back at it, probably not a smart decision by me.
Yeah, pretty stupid.
To allow...
I remember I didn't go to your house for the Super Bowl. Great job by me.
He could. Yeah, well, I don't think anyone got it because of him, but we could have, you know?
And that was a bad idea because in my house. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go on. Sorry.
Like everyone in my house, usually my mom's not worried about anything. But when I went home, you could see like, she was like, I don't want to hug him. And like, there was a lot of, all my friends wouldn't hang out with me and all that. It was a weird time.
Oh, really? You should have come to New York. We would have definitely hung out with you.
Yeah.
Turned out half the city had it at that point. We just didn't know.
Where is your mom's house? We're in the state, in the States.
She lives in Virginia. So
okay.
Pretty Southern Virginia. So overall fine.
So you were there and then you flew back to China in, was that mid March? Pandemic in this country?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. March 17th, I came back, and that was right before like they locked down the country, but you still had to do the 2 week quarantine, which was an absolute nightmare.
Well, yeah. What was that like? Tell us about it. All the way from like getting off the plane, start there in Shanghai.
So we got off the plane and they immediately take us to these, like every district had an area to fill out forms. So you fill out all your forms and then you wait for a bus. And then in true Chinese fashion, you're forced to just sit on a bus for 2 hours for no reason.
Without moving.
So we sit,
all together with other people who also.
Yeah, all together. But it ended up being, I think like 15 to 20 people on the bus, but yeah, you're just all on.
This is a great way to catch coronavirus if one of you has it now. You're all on a bus together. Not move. But yeah.
It's weird to fly when you know when everyone's sitting around like checking to see who might be the person that has the virus. Everyone was just like eyeballing everyone the whole time.
And you could cough just to troll people. Just keep coughing.
Oh, on my flight to America, I still had the remnants of a cough, but I was overall no fever, no nothing, but I was still coughing and I kept on in the airplane, just like going into my shirt.
But it's important to note that when you came to America, they didn't quarantine you or anything. There was no, did they even like no one in America said anything, right? Yeah.
When I got into America, the first person I saw was in the San Francisco TSA agent. It was this bald, like muscular Marine looking guy. And he's like, hey, coming in from China? I'm like, yeah. He's like, fleeing the virus? I'm like, yeah. He's like, pussy. He was joking.
That's America.
He's like, if it was me, I would have stayed there.
Yeah.
He was joking, but I was like, man, you're crazy, because it was terrifying at the time.
And what, so they had you, it cut out on my end for a second there. So you got off the plane. You sit on the bus for 2 hours, and then do they test you, or what happens next?
Yeah, so they took us to a testing center, and then they did the throat swab test.
In Shanghai.
And then, So, and they disinfect it. They put all the bags together. They're disinfecting the bags. Again, more of a show, because I can't imagine that's doing anything.
Bags, sure.
Yeah, and they disinfect everything, and then they do the throat swab test. And then apparently the results don't come in for 12 to 14 hours. So we were in an abandoned building. And then they just set up a bunch of lawn chairs and I sat on a lawn chair in the cold for 14 hours.
That'll give you a bed?
For my result. No, it was, we were literally in an abandoned office space.
And they do have, you know, they, was there an option to get a hotel room? Cause they have a zillion of those kind of like super cheap, whatever, $20 a night hotel rooms out near the airport in Shanghai. I feel like they could just put up, just take one of those and make everyone go in there.
Other people had that option. It was kind of a district by district basis, but I apparently was one of the fortunate ones. Cause like at most, I think I was there for like 14, 15 hours. Oof. Other people were there for like 40 hours.
So you were sitting in a lawn chair for 14 hours in an abandoned warehouse?
14 hours.
Was it a comfortable? It must be a comfortable chair though. It's chilling.
They actually, it was surprising how comfortable it was. It was one of like the reclining ones. I was like, they actually took time to think about this.
Yeah.
I thought it was just going to be plastic stools.
Did you sleep?
Yeah. I just tried to sleep the whole time. But then when you're on the plane all day, like it's hard to.
Yeah.
Getting off of a flight that's like, what, 15 hours in itself, and then you have to go sit in a lawn chair. And do you have your luggage with you or no?
No. No, we didn't have our luggage.
You can't change.
So you can't put on a jacket or something if you're cold?
No. No.
And do they feed you? Like, what's the food situation?
No. No. They specifically said everyone kind of prepped everyone else and said they're not going to give you food. So I just, at the airport in America, bought a ton of, like, Cheez-Its and stuff. And just
are they still? Has this been reported anywhere? Are we breaking news here?
Yeah, that
they,
we are.
They basically are torturing people when they land in Shanghai on the off chance that they
torture the virus out of them.
I think everyone was pretty aware that there wasn't going to be food. So everyone was prepared for it. But yeah, had you not known, it would have been a real pain in the ass because that would have been a full day of not eating.
And what about the 40 hours? What about those people?
Those people they put in a hotel.
Okay.
But I would have rather been in a lawn chair for 12 hours than a hotel for 40 hours.
Yeah. This is like really going to change because my Yaya is thinking about going back to seeing her parents, see her dad and family at some point.
Oh, she's insane.
Well, if she once she listens to this, I think she's going to cancel.
Does she have a favorite lawn chair? Can you maybe? If you have a friend in the government, they can get it ready for you.
Can you bring a sleeping bag? You have to wear it though. It needs to be like a snuggie situation.
Oh yeah.
You have to bring your whole.
So you can only bring what you're wearing.
A travel lawn chair. We need to invent that. Get a comfortable one. like a Murphy bed.
The weirdest part of the whole thing is this might be the only time where I actively saw like Chinese bureaucratic people go out of their way to try to be nice though. Cause you could see in all their eyes that they were like, I know this sucks. I'm sorry, but we're going to try to like just get it over with. And even the guys who like took me home at the end, they were like, hey, you know, they were just asking me questions in a way that like I've never seen Chinese people like empathize before.
Look at you have us. Look at this. Kaplan, we're witnessing Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. He's going to be the next viral propaganda videos.
You're sympathizing with your captor.
Yeah.
Daddy treats me well.
What happens at night? Like, do they just lock up the door to the cage or whatever? And they go, all right, we'll be back in the morning. Or what happens?
Yeah. You can't break free. There's no...
And are you?
What if you get off the chair? Well, at night, it's a good question. Like, if you leave the chair, does like a sensor go off?
I had a sensor on my front door when I went home, though.
Oh, tell us about that. So you're 14 hours in a lawn chair, and then you can finally go home. And then what happens?
So I get home, and then in the morning, I get waking up at around like 6 a.m., like 4 hours after I got home. And then it's the police and it's a couple nurses in full quarantine gear.
Hazmat
suits. That's what they're called. Hazmat suits. And they're all making me sign documents saying that, you know, I won't leave my house for 2 weeks. And this, I was also fortunate. I got to go home during the quarantine, where some people were forced to go into a hotel. So I at least had all my stuff. And yeah, so I just, they put a sensor on my door, and just, if I had my compound's weird because they, I don't have a security guard. So I don't think I was supposed to let delivery drivers contact me so much, but every day I was ordering food.
Yeah, how are you going to get groceries? You just no groceries? You got to order in because you just came back from being gone for so long. You don't have nothing in the house.
You can eat your lawn chair.
Yeah. Edible lawn chairs, new invention. I mean,
I started, you can order groceries online here and stuff. Oh, so okay. I did that. Yeah. It was literally, I had to order groceries because I was so bored that I ended up just like, the only joy I had was like prepping for a meal.
Yeah.
So it separated the day where you're like, okay, in 3 hours, I'm going to prepare for dinner. I have something to do today.
And you live by yourself, or you live with your girlfriend? I mean, your fiance? Am I getting that wrong?
Fiance.
Yes.
Yeah. We live together, but during that time, we decided she'd stay with her parents just in case. And so, yeah, I was just alone for 2 weeks. It was so, like, I feel so bad because I know in New York and stuff, there's got to be a ton of people living on their own. Like, yeah. What an insane, like 60 days of just being alone.
I know a lot of comedians. I mean, I think even worse is the comedians who are living with some Craigslist roommate they met like 2 weeks before this started and just randomly moved in with them. I mean, frankly, I think Joe Shaver's living, he might be living with someone he knows, but he moved right before this. He was living with some guy he went to high school with, and they'd been living together for 4 years. And then that guy is getting married. So Shaver moved out. And I think he moved out like barely before this thing started. So he might be with a random roommate, or he might be someone he knows. But either way, it's like new environment, small place. But I think he's doing all right. There are people who aren't doing that well, obviously.
And then
you're worried for the people living with Joe.
Yeah.
But didn't you get tested though? But they didn't, like you said, it wasn't the whole point of the 14-hour thing to have a test and see.
Oh yeah. Why quarantine? Yeah, you already had a test.
Yeah, that's because the logic is they're testing that you didn't have it on the plane, and the quarantine is so you don't, if you had gotten it on the plane or since getting off the plane, you won't spread it, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe you didn't, the whole symptoms, thing is, yeah, who knows?
They don't really, maybe they just didn't really understand it at the time, like how it spread, or.
I also love that like the world just arbitrarily chose 2 weeks. Like,
yeah.
I know that seems to be the case, but like, man, 2 weeks just seems like really random because there's all these articles where it's like, 30 days or 7 days. Yeah. Or, like,
and there's a new article that's a study said it's really like 11 days is like the real max. I saw a study like from, yeah. So, but you know, I guess you round up.
And to think, if you would have, like, when Chinese people come this way, they can just step off the plane and go straight to the Ozarks and jump in a hot tub and party with.
After that Marine said to you, you're a pussy, then he just let you go, right? You didn't have to do anything else? Or...
Yeah, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I was the only one with a mask in the airport.
And was this just your quarantine? I mean, your lawn chair situation in Shanghai? Was this just foreigners who did this, or was it everybody? The Chinese people as well were sitting in the lawn chairs.
No, it was Chinese people too. Yeah. It was everybody. The worst part is like 10 hours in, they were just randomly in hazmat suits going up to people and pulling them out. And you're just like, oh shit. Is this like, are they telling people they have COVID? Like,
oh no.
And then you wouldn't see him again. You're like,
oops. You don't know.
Straight to the furnace.
It's like, do you want to be picked or not picked? It's a weird, like, you don't know what you're getting. So,
but it's
like the worst NBA draft.
I'm in the room
of all
with that
time.
Guy.
You want to be the last guy in the green room.
The last guy in the green room. Yeah. Although maybe you don't. You don't know. Maybe they're being like, we've tested and you actually are invincible. Go ahead. But
yeah, it's crazy. They didn't. They, you know, in their infinite wisdom, did not share a lot of information with anybody. So. Mm.
And what's going on now? Like, how are it's mind blowing to me after seeing what happened in New York, and frankly, what we all knew was going to happen in New York is like the second it lands in New York, it's going to ravage the city. Just one, because New York's pretty dirty, but also because New York's just a major city where everyone lives on top of each other.
Yeah,
and Shanghai's exactly the same, if not more. There's more people in Shanghai. There's subways in Shanghai. It's all the exact same setup, except for we're not as intense, obviously, on the quarantine. Do you think that's the only difference, or is there anything else? Like, what's going on there that that's not going on here?
So overall, it's back to normal. We're now at the point where, like, even Chinese people aren't always wearing masks. They're not really checking temperatures anywhere. It's one of those things where it just doesn't make any sense. Like, if we just followed the pattern of how this all worked, why is New York ravaged and Shanghai's fine? Because I think even at the height of it, they were at like 1,500 cases.
Okay. Well, so I guess a follow-up question to that is, anecdotally, is kind of all you can give us, I guess, but does it seem fine, or do you know people who were sick that they're like, oh, they're not reporting, you know?
It's corona, yeah.
No, it seems fine. That's the, like, I've been out every day. I rarely wear my mask correctly. I don't do the, like, 10 times hand washing anymore, and, like, I'm fine, and it's, I think if anything, it just shows that, like, it doesn't seem as dangerous as we once thought. Because I have to believe it's everywhere still, because there's no way New York is still, like, under attack while Shanghai never got hit.
Never. Like, and not only Shanghai, like, Suzhou has 8 million people.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, in, like, the city, it's
the
only
majority
two.
Of China.
I mean, we must have, like, I feel like New York must have had, like, an extremely high amount of early cases that we didn't know about that just spread. Well, and they were spreading unchecked for so long.
They're saying now that Shanghai, that New York at the in early March was getting 100,000 new cases a day in the state.
Right, but we didn't know that was a thing.
Unknown.
So,
like,
so it just spread so much. But it is strange. But like Turner was telling me earlier, how Governor Cuomo today in his press conference was said that we're down to 54 deaths, and he made it seem like, well, we can't really go much lower than that until this is over.
He's 54 deaths a day in the state of New York. He's like, today we only had 54 deaths, and he's like, I'm going to be honest with you guys, that's pretty good. And frankly, it's not realistic to think we're going to go lower because people just die. That's what happens. Yeah, people, like, die.
Very defeatist.
Yeah.
Because we're not pussies here. No. that's a Marine
just
said,
from the outside. Just from the outside, watching Cuomo has been an absolute shit show. Like, just the fact that he doesn't, like, spit on himself when he talks.
He's a tough
people
guy.
Are like, yes, pay for president. It's like, all right, well.
What about, so there's been, like, especially early on, there was reports that a lot of, I don't know what you can talk about, what you can't talk about. If you don't want to talk about it, just let us know if you don't think you can. But that people were blaming, or there was blame seen as foreigners. Like, oh, all this virus is coming from the foreigners that are now coming back to China. Is that still going on? Or is that over?
No, it's not over. But there was a peak where people were very nervous of foreigners. Which is weird because, during that time I was in quarantine, so I didn't see it as much. But my friends who weren't in quarantine were like, oh man, they're not letting me into this building. They're not letting me do this. And like, people aren't standing next to me on the metro and stuff. Like, but I mean, I see why they did it because, it seems like an easier scapegoat than to say, holy shit, it's 94% Chinese students returning from overseas.
Well, also it's easier than saying, holy shit, we started a virus and didn't tell the world about it for 3 months.
Yeah.
That's true.
Whoops.
But I mean, it was almost entirely like students returning from overseas that had it. And I think only a few of the cases were actually foreigners. But yeah, even to this day, like, I own a business and I have people not wanting to come back because they're like, well, you have a lot of foreigners at your business.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all been locked down for 2 months here. What do you think's happening?
I mean, it's so amazing. It's like, you know how in the 80s, like, Russia was saying, they were calling us, we were the other side of the, we were behind the Iron Curtain for them.
You're talking about America.
No, Russia. They would say that we were behind, America was behind the Iron Curtain, and we would say that Russia was behind the Iron Curtain. This is the same thing. Like, they're saying, well, Chinese people have this virus. In China, they're saying foreign people have this virus. And it's like, guess what? Everybody does.
All right. And when we call, imagine if people here were like, oh, don't stand next to that Chinese person. That would be like an outrageous thing to say, like, or a foreigner. Don't go to that business. They have a lot of Chinese people working there.
All those people would use the example of like, well, you guys are attacking Chinese people in the States. We're like, touche. All right.
Yeah. There's no one's doing a great job with this whole thing.
They, man, if you don't like that, you sure as hell won't like the propaganda they're using against the riots right now.
Ooh. Oh boy.
In Hong Kong or in New York, or in America,
the U.S. Yeah.
We're going to get into that a little bit, but go ahead. Tell us what you know.
Oh my God.
It's just like, it's just basically like, this is why democracy doesn't work, and just photos of looters. And sure. It's from like pretty established, like,
that's like, but an old, like, such an old,
like,
school.
Xinhua's doing it.
Yeah.
It's like these huge, imagine if the New York Times posted a meme that was just like, hey, this is why China sucks. You'd be like, whoa, that's unexpected.
Well, we do get a lot of, this is why communism doesn't work. Or at least historically, we've got that. Not anymore. Now we're very, Bernie's on top of that. But,
you get that a lot. I mean, they do say that a lot, but they don't say that about, and we would say this is why dictatorships don't work, stuff like that. So you could say, I guess it's fair for them to do it that way.
Well, there's one thing. There's a news story, which you might as well just get to now. We normally save the news for later, which we're going to do. But I know you're on a time schedule, Jorge. So you brought it up. Let's get to this news story now. China's foreign ministry spokesperson. I don't know if you heard this quote, but she's trying to troll the United States. And it kind of went wrong. She tweeted this out today in response to, this is her trying to support the protests going on in America. She tweets out, all lives matter.
Mm. She sort of screwed that up.
And then she says,
canceled. Oh, no.
She says, we stand firmly with our African friends.
Yes.
Whoops. Yes. Bust that one.
Oh. And she's like, gotcha, America.
All lives matter.
I mean, wasn't it
my uncle?
Yeah, that's like people get fired for saying that.
The longtime television announcer for the Sacramento Kings just got fired today because
saying all lives matter.
DeMarcus Cousins baited him on Twitter into saying all lives matter.
No.
And then he got canned like 6 hours later by his radio station.
But I mean, we were seeing a few weeks ago in China, there was like signs of like, oh, like not letting black people into McDonald's or something. Like there was these cases where just probably because of foreigner thing. But it's kind of rich to give us
so
here. But
what I heard, and again, this is all speculation because I don't know anything. I'm very stupid. A lot of the black people in Guangzhou apparently are being like visited by police and things like that, and more so than white foreigners. And what was explained to me by a black person, not that this is true, but this is still what they said, is a lot of the facial recognition stuff. They haven't made it to.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they've set up, like, in Africa, since they're moving into Africa with the One Belt, the Belt and Road Initiative, they're setting up companies specifically to tweak their facial recognition to be better suited for darker complexions, if you know what I mean.
So you mean because it's thinking everybody's the same person, or what is that? Or it's just thinking?
No, it's literally. I think it's literally. It's not registering. It's not registering black people as much. Again, I'm basing this on almost nothing. So
I mean, it probably makes sense. Like, I've seen how the like Apple Photos face. You ever do that Faces program?
And
like the mix-ups it makes. So I can. But that's interesting.
Well, Jorge, what's comedy? What's the comedy scene like right now in Shanghai? Are you allowed?
Yeah, we're performing.
Oh, you are allowed to.
Like.
I mean, because of COVID, you know, and stuff.
Were we ever allowed to?
Yeah, we were never allowed to. Yeah. But I mean, there's no bars and stuff are reopened, so you can put on shows.
Yeah, everything's open, but it's pretty much down to right before the virus, some things went down where certain Culture Bureau people came in to talk to us.
You don't have to talk too much about it if you don't want to.
No, I just the actual specifics. I don't really know that much because I just got out of there. I didn't talk to them.
Sure.
But they kind of made it seem that we don't mind that you're doing shows, but we mind that you're getting paid for it without licensing it.
Jorge, did they take notes from the Suzhou Cultural Bureau? Because I got that same speech in 2013. It took 7 more years to make it to you guys, but
that's pretty much exactly what happened. I thought about you when that happened. So we're pretty much down to free shows. So it's cool. The shows are good and the crowds are great, but it's a weird, I don't know. It's just, it's different when it's free, versus paid. Something about a paid show makes people, different.
I'll talk to you off air about it. There's ways to, listen, we kept going for
Turn as a creative.
5 more years.
Yeah.
There's more than one way to skin a cat, Jorge.
Are they still?
No,
go on.
No, go for it. What's that?
No, I was going to ask you if they still have ice cream trucks in China and food trucks because of the COVID. I was thinking like it might be there. They're cracking down on that stuff. And Turner's could feel like he got a victory, but.
No, there's actually more than ever. Mr. Soft is doing great here.
So what about you? Is it one flight a week now to the US, or each airline gets one flight a week or something? And it's $10,000 to get on the flight.
Yeah, it's an insane amount. And there are people I know that their visas, there's comedians, this comedian Cade, his visa runs out and he's trying to go home. Because he can't. Like every time he books the flight gets canceled. And he's done the extension to try to like stay the 30 more days, and they gave it to him, and they're like, "This is your last one." He's like, "I'm trying to leave.
Yeah,
you're canceling the flights. Like, so I don't know what he's gonna do. He might be in get a nice little trip to another quarantine.
Oh man, that's it for the rest of his life.
I hope he likes lawn chairs.
Yeah."
Chinese
Are the shows good? Like, audience still coming out for shows? Are you guys doing shows? How often a week? That kind of stuff.
There's been pretty much about the same as before. A couple open mics a week. Heyo. a couple open mics a week, and then on the weekends, a couple showcases and headliners and stuff. Guinness opened up I guess they're called gatehouses here, Guinness Gatehouse, and they do shows there now, and they're trying to get those all on the up and up. So
Guinness beer.
So yeah. So it's weird to be able to. We've been doing comedy pretty much since March, even before, I guess, like at the beginning of March, and it's weird to be one of the only people still practicing.
Yeah, we can't. I mean, I'm doing it on Zoom every Friday night. Yeah.
No one invited me to do a Zoom show. Fuck.
Start your own Zoom show.
Oh, gotta improve your Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely don't want to do a Zoom show, by the way.
There's no barrier to entry. We're doing it because we have to. They've actually turned out to be pretty fun. But we have a community, an audience, much like we had at Kung Fu Comedy Club, where it's like a very loyal audience that comes all the time, and so it's all of those people. Okay. So it's almost as much like half the audience knows each other on our shows. I've seen a lot of the other ones are kind of weird because you're just getting random people off the internet, you know, watching, and it's this odd sense. Like on ours, like nobody bombs, everybody's having a blast. Like the audio's on, people turn, you can hear people laughing, all that kind of stuff. So it's good. Nice.
Let me ask you guys a question real quick.
Is
New York back? Are people doing stuff? Because my only like knowledge of what's happening is literally through the Hulu like car commercials and the
good source.
Like they've gone from like in these trying times to like it's the Ford sales-a-thon. So like, are things back?
No, not in other parts of the country. I think their Ford sales-a-thons are picking back up again.
Well, but on that note, just quickly, the best commercial I've seen so far is Ford has one where they're like, when America needed us, we were there. And it was him like
Bryan Cranston. Yeah,
it's them like making, I don't know, what are they called? Defibrillators or something. And then, and they're like, when America needed us, we were there. And now that America's open, we need you. It's like America's open? When, yeah. No, now that America's open for business. Like, wait, I saw this commercial like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, I don't think we're open for business yet.
They're basically saying, we saved your grandma's life. Buy a fucking Ford.
Yes.
That's what you're
sorry, I cut you off, Kev. Go ahead and report on
that. No, I was saying I'm still seeing commercials. They've been running this one commercial every day during The Price is Right, which is the show I watch the kids. And they run this commercial every day that they claim it's like some woman who was a baby during the Spanish flu.
Oh, I've seen it.
You see that commercial? And there's no way she's 100 years old. She looks like she's old. She's like probably like 80. And like, cause how would they film this commercial together? Like you're going to go get an old 100-year-old woman and risk like giving her COVID to film this commercial.
Cap, this was your bitch. Is this lady wearing a mask? You said she'd be
No,
she's not. Oh yeah. She's not. She was a baby and it's all about being a mom. And now, they don't even mention the dad in 1918. Apparently she came from a single parent. I don't know. Like we're just me and my mom for months.
He died. Cap.
He died. Yeah. There's a real, so the kids don't know that part. So they every day Teddy's like, oh, she's 100. But anyway, so they're still running those commercials. And they're still, New York is not open.
Well, that's good to know.
But people are.
Well, New York, let's correct the record. New York is open. I don't know if you saw the news this past weekend.
Oh, but, yeah. It's open. That's true. And like, people are like on Monday and June 8th, they're going to go to phase one, which means like you can have retail curbside, I think, retail shops. People are out. The parks are packed. It's weather's nice. Obviously, if you want a riot, that's open too.
The riots are open for business.
The riots are open. We never completely shut down. The subway's been open the whole time, everything. But like the mood has definitely, like it's changed because like even mentally, like you watch all the coverage of people being outside and you go outside again and you're like, all right, we're still doing this thing where I have to wear my mask. Like you're just like, you're not really... People are still, though. Most people are not working. Most people are still at home, either unemployed or working from home. My wife's back to work, but she's an exception, I think. So I don't know when
we're
gonna
be back. Did you guys get your stimulus checks?
I got
it. Turner got his. We were too rich for them. We made too much money. I didn't get one. I'll get one for this year.
Oh, must be nice.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
Her company got that whole like payroll protection thing. So she had been furloughed and now she's back because he got the money.
She got rehired.
It works.
Wow.
Because it goes, it's basically paying a company to like hire people. So it's a way to like, as bad as the unemployment numbers are, to make them not as bad. So, so they do like window treatments and stuff. And like people are doing that kind of work right now. They're back to like putting in shades and, you know, so. I don't know.
We will not let this virus defeat us.
Yeah, you can't.
We're getting those windows back up.
If rich people don't have, the terrorists win. If they don't have,
the virus wins.
We're pussies. Yes. So it'll be interesting to see how the summer happens. Yeah, because I don't. Shanghai. How long?
I'll die to make sure. Wait, say that again.
I was gonna say, like, how long did Shanghai take before it was like to get to the point you're in now? Like to be.
I don't know. It felt like what happened in America that everyone just kind of decided, I think we're done with this.
That is what happened in America.
Everyone just kind of, I would say it's been about 2 months that everything's pretty much been normal. Like around middle of April is where everyone was just outside and back hanging out. So
in Shanghai.
Yeah. So,
and they was there ever an official announcement like, okay, we're done. We have a phase one, phase two, phase three, or was it just kind of like up to people?
Who knows? I'm sure they did, but I'm sure Chinese people knew. I just kind of followed everyone else's. Yeah. But like the day I got out of quarantine, I went straight out to a restaurant, and it was fine. Like they checked your temperature and And then you just sat down. The best part is how, again, showing how arbitrary everything is. When you're walking down a sidewalk, you have to wear a mask. But then the second you sit down in an outdoor patio right next to the sidewalk, mask off, no problem.
Like, really?
It makes, which is weird because obviously the restaurant is when you should be wearing the mask. Because that's where all the people are.
Well, it's when you're sitting across from someone for a long period of time, which we're now finding out that time matters as well, right? That makes me feel better, though, because that in America, the rules are so arbitrary that I'm glad it's not just us.
But it's like you'd see a packed restaurant. There'd be a packed restaurant and then people on the sidewalk with masks on. And like, I think we should be wearing masks. What's going on with your kids?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There, it's a maniacs here.
Yeah. Can you mute Cap, maybe?
Yeah. What?
Go on mute for a while.
There Let's meet go. Your kids.
So that's, I think, we're going to let you go. I know you have to get into work. What about, can I ask you one? What about your business? How is your business doing okay? You'd say it's a school?
Yeah, we were, I own a daycare. And it's, It was weird. We were closed for like 4 months, and luckily my building's owned by the government, so they didn't make us pay rent the whole time.
Wow,
so
that's great.
That helped a lot because that would have been an insane, you know, Shanghai prices. It would have been an insane destruction.
Would have put you out of business. Shut down.
I was more worried about opening up than being closed because. Being closed, you can just not pay anything. I had to pay staff salaries, but like paying rent alone is now everyone, the current phase we're on in China is the younger kids are going back to school today, actually.
Wow.
And
wow. So it's happening. So
because they're going back to school. Yeah, it's all like everyone's back to school today.
And what are the rules? Are they doing it full classes? Are they like, they're not...
Yeah,
spacing it out classes, or anything.
But they, for the younger kids, school is optional still. You don't have to go back. But that's what made it scary. Of like, when it opens back up, and I have to pay rent again, and then if no one shows up, then we're screwed. But luckily, we've been fine. Our parents are all cool, and we've been able to make it. But yeah, it's been a you know, great time to be a business owner. To,
And did you get any PPP money from the United States?
Oh yeah.
No, I don't know. Like I've been waiting for it. I got nothing.
You gotta go to. You need a bank in America.
You know anyone who works for the Lakers? Yeah, I got it. Lakers got it.
What?
Yeah, the LA Lakers got a small business loan. They ended up giving it back when it went public, but they took $6 million from the U.S. taxpayers.
Yeah,
I'm glad.
Well, it was one of those things where like they wrote it specifically broad because they wanted like restaurants and places to not get like to just be able to pay their employees without it being too difficult. And then of course, what happens is all these like big companies take advantage of it and until people found out about it, which was and they give it back. So Shake Shack,
Houston Rockets.
Sorry, is your company, Jorge, based in China? Or you have a U.S. parent company? Are you that runs you?
No, based in China. No, based in China. Just, we're based in China.
Yeah. There's like an Amber Alert here in New York now.
Oh God.
Uh oh.
Literally. Oh God.
Someone gets.
Oh no! It's
now?
No. I just got a. You know what this alert is?
What?
Citywide curfew in effect for New York City. They just gave me the phone went off.
Oh,
tell me that. 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. Essential workers exempted. So, yeah, there's that.
Is podcasting essential?
Podcasting's essential. I don't know. Yeah. If I record while I'm outside, we'll see if the police hassle me.
All right, Jorge. Well, we'll let you go, man. You have to head into work, right?
Yep, heading in now.
Thank you so much for doing this. Where can how do people find you online?
I don't know.
Instagram. Not want people to find you online?
No, that's fine. It's hard to spell, so try to figure it out. Instagram, Jorge _ cast, JORGE _ CAST, and then whatever, you know.
Jorge!
And can you please...
Give me free shows.
Can you please just do me one favor? If there's any, like, any cleaning things or any tricks that you guys figure out for getting schools open safely in China, that works. Anything you need to do, just send them. They send me all the information. I want to make sure the schools are open here. So please help me out.
I've spent the last 2 months researching that, so I'll send it over your way. Then.
Yes, I'm gonna bring it right to the chancellor's office. They need these kids back at school immediately, as you heard.
COVID or no COVID, Kaplan wants his kids back in school.
I don't care.
You know, Cap. Of course, Cap is rich. His school has a chancellor.
I meant of the entire public school district, but yes. Okay. I'm in the penthouse bunker right here.
I'll be speaking to the chancellor. The butler will speak to the chancellor.
That's how we roll here, baby.
All right, fellas. Good seeing you.
Thank you, sir. Kaplan, let's get to the news.
Get to the news. Play the music.
Play the music.
Thank you to Jorge for doing the show. Jorge Castellanos. Yeah. I hope I'm pronouncing
that correctly.
I've only known him for 5 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you got the Spanish Elianos. I think you got it okay when you first introduced him. But
there was an Enye in there, I think.
It was an Enye, but what do they call that little thing they put above the, you know, I'm terrible at Spanish.
A tilde? Is it a tilde?
Maybe I'm like my kids do Spanish on the thing, and I don't know any. I'm supposed to be helping them, and I don't know any of these basic words. And I took Spanish for like 4 years, but
I'm not sure. Anyway, Jorge was great. What a wild story. The 14 hours seems like definitely. Could you imagine trying to do that to American tourists?
Well, what I liked about that story was I just think. I mean, obviously, our president. I'm not counting him in this. I'm just saying, like, we always think America is like really extra incompetent. And
yes,
other countries are so much better than us. And obviously we've done so many things terrible during this whole process, but it's nice to hear of like other, like China, where we all think is like, just knows what they're doing. Like that whole situation sounded like it made no sense. So instead, it was just like, they were doing everything. They didn't really have a plan.
That made no sense. The other thing he was saying at the end made no sense, which is that walking down the street, you have to wear a mask. But if you want to walk into a restaurant and then sit at their outside street dining, you then don't have to wear a mask.
Yeah. Because I guess you're eating. Right. But it's like in between when you're waiting for, at least when you're ordering the food, waiting for it to come, you should wear the mask just to cut down on the.
Well, it makes me feel good that no one knows what they're doing. Cap, let's get to the news. These are all from the Shanghaiest. We did one of them in the regular show. Here we go. First story. Mom in Shandong province paints son's eyes black to scare away his smartphone addiction. Now, you got to see the video. I mean, the picture here is really great, but I'll explain it to you. This kid's probably 6 years old. He's like a 6 or 7 year old Chinese boy. His mom takes, it looks like shoe polish, and draws these black circles around his eyes very dramatically, all the way going like up halfway up his forehead and then down his cheeks, saying that he woke up that way in the morning. She does it while he's asleep in the middle of the night.
She did it while I was going to say he was asleep.
Yeah.
It's like
her
version of the tooth fairy is to go in and paint his eyes.
Yeah. So when he wakes up, she's like, the boy's like, what happened to my eyes? His mom's like, that must be, it's going around. It's because you look at the smartphone. The kid's father told him that he got panda eyes and they were a result of staring too long at his smartphone screen. So what would you, is this the type of parenting you would get behind? You can get behind?
I mean, I'm a very nervous parent about like trying to pull these kind of extreme. You think like, what's that rule when you make like a crazy lie, people believe it? Like, and you think that applies to kids, right?
Yeah.
But when we just talked about the tooth fairy, and you know, Ruby had swallowed her tooth, and I made a point to, when the tooth fairy came in, I'm going to talk a little lower here, so I don't hear, but I made a point of writing. She wrote a letter to the tooth fairy explaining how she swallowed her tooth, and then we made a point of writing a letter back explaining that you still get it, like, for supposed to be from the tooth fairy.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me, my brain, like, what are they going to do? And then I heard that Ruby and Teddy talking. They were like, how did the tooth fairy, that writes so small? Oh, they're very little. That looks like computer type. Maybe, how does a tooth fairy have a computer? I'm like, oh my God, I made this too. This is, they're going to figure it out. They're going to break it. So,
wait, you typed it? You typed it out?
Well, because I even know my handwriting. And I even know Randy's.
Yeah.
So, I used to, I think it's risky because they're going to, you know, this kid's going to see the polish around the house. He's not, at 6 years old, they're not stupid. He's going to figure this out, or he's going to read the newspaper when he learns how to read and read the story. Yeah. But so I think, and then, I mean, I don't know if that's the, like, you want to get your kids not to use smartphones, right? But Well, actually, during this whole pandemic, do you still want that? Like, that was the goal before the pandemic. So that proves this is such a
great. You bring up a great point because we were talking, and I was talking with Natalie about something, and she said, "I get an because they get an hour of screen time a day. These kids get.
Wow,
and so
look at that."
Yeah, so and I watch them, you know, in the afternoons, and she was saying, she goes, Uncle Turner, like, I came in at 3. Ye was doing 1 to 3. I was doing 3 to 5. And I came in at 3, and Ye was like, or no, Natalie was like, Uncle Turner, I haven't done any screen time yet, so I want to watch, I want to do, like, my hour right now. But as she was saying that, she was on her computer, she was on her iPad doing something, you know?
Right.
And
that doesn't count?
I was like, you're on your screen right now. She goes, no, this doesn't count because I'm looking up something in Spanish and that's studying Spanish. So it's like, schoolwork. I don't even know what the rules are anymore of screen time, non-screen time.
You know? Right. Also with distance learning, I mean, they're on their iPads for school, right?
Yes.
And then it's like Teddy had a video game limit, which is, he used to have, it was like an hour. That used to be a Switch limit. But then when the pandemic started, it felt cruel and insane to myself to keep that limit. So I moved it up to 2 hours. Cause like, we've got a long day to get through. We can't go anywhere. Now I'm going to worry about the screen time.
And you got to give yourself a break too, right?
Yeah. This seems like a real 2019 problem. I mean, I think they need to just, I mean, who cares? Let the kid get, I mean, Panda and is it a bad thing? Pandas are adorable, so I don't know.
Well, if you look at this kid's eyes, it would freak out any six-year-old to wake up with these giant circles around his eyes. But
this is really cruel.
I mean, it's not injuring him. I'm on the side of the parents. Here's why. It's not abuse. They're not physically injuring him at all. They're just scaring him a little bit.
They got to be consistent. Every time he uses the iPad, they got to then wake up in the middle of the night and do the whole thing. And if you run out, I don't know. So, interesting say.
Last story comes to us from also the Shanghai's, Kaplan. Oh, and we should say, if the audio sounds a little differently now, I don't know if it will, but if it does, we went on to this different format to do the Jorge interview because he was in Shanghai. So we had to flip a couple knobs and turn a couple dials to get him plugged in over there. So back on this.
Turn up there.
Last story of the week comes to us. Shanghai. Shenzhen is a city in southern China. Shenzhen plans to implant microchips into 100% of the city's dogs by the end of this year, 2020. That chip can then be scanned to obtain information like the name and the breed of the dog, along with the name and the contact information of the owner. What do you think about this, Mr. Kaplan?
Well, I probably flagged this thinking it was like some crazy, like how China has all this facial recognition.
I did, yes, of course.
But the truth is that in America, at least in New York City, it's not a law. You don't have to microchip your dog, but it's strongly encouraged. Every vet always, when you get a dog, they always try to get you to microchip your dog because they don't want, if your dog gets stolen, it's like a big way to get people, like you can even write on like their tag, microchipped, I think. So it's like, you don't want to steal a dog that's microchipped because then you take it to a vet. And every vet in America is going to check.
Oh.
And if they see that it's microchipped and it's not you, then all of a sudden, or if it's been reported stolen, they call. So you've got to again go to a back alley vet or something, or a shady vet guy.
Okay, so but Kaplan, we're okay with microchipping dogs. I mean, how far away is doing this to your kids, Teddy and Ruby Kaplan? Because
they don't have constitutional rights. And also, I'm not as. I won't be. No one's as heartbroken if their kid gets stolen as a dog. Let's be honest. Yeah, too. I mean, it would be devastating if Pancakes was gone. But
sure. it says that these dogs without microchips, any dog in Shenzhen without a microchip at the end of the year will be considered an unlicensed dog, and you know what that means.
What does that mean?
No, I'm just kidding. I thought it might mean that it was just open for the wild. You know, like you could be hunted. But then I read that Shenzhen was the first city in China last year to outlaw the eating of dogs. So
Do they want to microchip bats and other animals in case we have any more issues?
So that's a good idea. Microchip your pet bat, everybody.
Because I do like that it does feel to me like China is maybe it's all an act, but they're getting a little Americanized here. They're becoming a bigger dog culture. They're not eating dogs.
Well, that's something that's something that's been unreported for a long time. So, I mean, they've been a big dog culture since I was there, moved there in 2004. Yeah. It's just the stories you read in the New York Post are the one story in the country where this happened, something crazy happened.
Don't besmirch the name of our news producer, New York Post.
Well, you know, there's certain, but in Suzhou, at least where I lived, I can tell you that no, it's a giant dog. Everyone has dogs. Everyone loves dogs just like they would in New York. Or in America, and anywhere I went in China was the exact same. This whole idea of, you know, eating dogs and stuff is overblown.
All right, that's good to know. I support. I mean, I don't see. Obviously, this is, you could move this on to humans. If down the road in some
microchip your grandma, everybody.
Well, I mean, there are some people who have leashes for their kids, so I don't think. I think a lot of people would have. If it was legal, there's definitely people who would agree to microchip their kids.
What do you
for that
think?
Reason.
Yeah, what do you think about, you know, cuz now during COVID times, it's the big worry is not the child anymore. It's the parents, right? It's the grandparents who keep them in their house.
Yeah.
And so what about microchipping or leashing of the grandparents? Is that an idea?
Yeah, if you have to have their consent, I think, right? So maybe
I mean, no, all rules seem to be off, so maybe not.
What would I'm just trying to think about what would be your order of what you want a microchip. Dog first, my keys second,
credit card. Yeah.
Wedding ring fourth. Kids are
grandparents.
With kids where you have a thing where when they're 18 they can choose to remove it if they want.
Yes, it's like they're it's like when you're 13 in the Methodist faith, you get to decide if you want to commit to the church or you're out, you know?
Right.
So maybe
right.
It's that type of thing. At a certain age, they can decide if they want the microchip.
You're a man.
If they still want it or they don't want it. I think it's a great idea.
These new kids, they love their parents. They want to live at home. They're so tight with their parents. They might want their parents to know where they are at all times.
Also, Cap, think about this. Our parents' generation, the big move is to put their parents into a nursing home at a certain age.
Yeah.
How much different is a nursing home from a microchip? You know where they are. You get to track them wherever they go. You find maybe it can tell you if they've been eating or not. You know, if they're not eating enough, one of these things.
It's a dangerous thing because, like, you have that. Find your phone thing on the Apple's.
Find your
grandma. But that can be used. I mean, like, all, you know, like Teddy's using Randy's iPad. So then he's like, what is this? And I'm like, oh, she's in Long Island right now for work. Like now he's obsessed with watching because she realizes to find my thing. And then it's like, so it's dangerous. It's very intoxicating, you know, where people are. So I think as a culture, let's try to steer clear of that.
We'll stay away from that for now.
Yes, for now.
How about
let's table that?
All right, Cap. Yes. That is the podcast, you guys. Everybody, July 1st. It's so exciting. We were doing a live from the bunker on Zoom. Be there. The only way you can be there is by signing up at patreon.com/lostinamerica for our daily 4-day a week show, Live from the Bunker, Tuesday through Fridays. That's it, Kaplan. What should we do?
I think it's about time we get lost.
Get lost.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.